If this man were to have his own weigh-in song, I'm guessing this would probably be it.
It's appropriate.
Definitely thought you were trouble. We're doing something a little bit different today. This is the Inside Bassmaster Fantasy Edition, and we're going to be talking about Grand Lake, but we have switched it up. Normally, we've had our fantasy pundits on. They were unavailable because I believe Pete is fishing somewhere. Coy is probably fishing somewhere, and Ronnie, I think, was available, and I said we've actually got the talent side covered this time. So we brought in some real talent into the Bassmaster Studios. This is Thomas Allen, and before we get to them, the man who keeps his finger on master control, Mr. Jim Sexton.
Hello, hello.
And then we've got big shots in studio. We have the editor of Bass Times, Brian Brasher. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Pinch hitting for Ronnie Moore.
Pinch hitting.
Happy
pinch
to
hitting.
Be here.
And then the man that we played the song for, Bigger Than Life, has a tremendous taste for good bourbon, which is why we get along so well. Mr. James Hall, editor of Bassmaster Magazine.
So proud to be here, Thomas. Thank you for that. I'm a little distraught that there is no bourbon in here today. A little miffed about that.
We need to talk to the vice president over here.
You know, I'm not sure we can get that on the expense report.
you gotta build that in the budget, bro.
You gotta be creative.
We do have some new sponsors might be able to help us on that front.
This little shelf right next to me does have a key and a cabinet. So, I mean, it's just something that could happen. So it's been a while since we've done a fantasy podcast. That's because we had a little bit of drama. The Southern Louisiana, Texas, Eastern Texas landscape got dunked underwater, and therefore the Sabine River event was postponed until June 7 through 11. I think those dates are right. So that's early June. And so we actually had a pretty big break, and I think you're going to find that the time off between Martin and the Grand Lake event may have its impact on some of the fantasy fishing players, and we're going to talk about that. But before we do, I am going to touch briefly on Ronnie Moore, Pete Robbins, and Coy Greathouse, who are not here. So I'm going to start with Coy's picks. We're going to go ahead and do this and get it out of the way, because we're going to do something very different today.
Not a cup full of ice in which bourbon should be poured, by the way.
We can tell where his priorities are, but we're going to get to that, and I'm not going to go through a lot of explanation, but this is – now, we know Coy is our scientific freak of the group. He's the one that puts a lot of odds and statistics behind his selections, and his finishes overall really prove that, and Brian and James are here to defunct that. We're going to get into that a little bit. But Coy's selections for Bucket A, James Elam, Bucket B, Jason Christie, Bucket C, Edwin Evers, stacked, Bucket D, Kevin Van Dam, and then finally Keith Combs and Bucket E. Those are some real big names, and you're going to find that it seems like those names don't belong in those buckets at this point, but remember, we're only one Elite Series event in, therefore Angler of the Year points that dictate bucket positions aren't necessarily accurate just yet.
It's hard to argue with that lineup.
I don't know why you wouldn't go that route. I mean, that's a whole tactic we're going to talk about, but I'm going to knock Coy out of there. Those are probably pretty good selections. Let's go with the Ron Moore. Starting out in Bucket A, he's got Brett Height, which is a very interesting selection. Finished in the top 12 at Grand Lake. Did not fish the Classic, so he's got a chip on his shoulder. Good choice, I think, Ronnie. Bucket B is Russ Lane. Bucket C, John Cruz. Bucket D, Bill Lowen. Bucket E, Randall Tharp. Randall Tharp is a good selection. Because you'll recall, the last time we were in that region was when we were at Bull Shoals in Norfolk, when Randall won. Mm-hmm. So you get that mid-spring time frame on a lake like that, that could play to Randall Tharp. Ronnie, good selections. I think it's hard to argue that. Pete Robbins. I don't know what you're thinking about this, Pete, but again, these are similar, and you're going to find out why. But Bucket A, James Elam. Bucket B, Jason Christie. Bucket C, Bobby Lane. Bucket D, Kevin Van Dam. And Bucket E, Tommy Biffle. So, guys, a lot of things going on there, a lot of big names that are in those buckets. And, Jim, why don't you talk a little bit about who you selected, and then we're going to and if you have anything to add, James or Brian, please cut me off and be rude about it. I like it when you're that way.
I have no problems doing that at all, Thomas. Thank you.
All right, we'll carry on. Jim, talk to me about who you picked.
Well, I started out, you know, looking back at the history of that lake and how we've done there, how our guys have done there. Hard not to go with James Elam in A. He won the Open there a year ago, year or two ago. I also looked hard at Ott Defoe. Ott has had a strong year so far. Mm-hmm. He finished 13th at Martin, finished 6th at Lake Hartwell. So he is off and rolling with some strong momentum. It's hard to say how much momentum is going to play into this thing because there have been such big breaks between each part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know how much momentum is going to happen.
Well, here, a couple of the guys have had two tournaments, right? They had the Martin event and they had the Classic. Obviously, only the top 51 fished the Classic, 52?
About top 40 elites.
Okay, so yeah, so there's been a big chunk of guys that have not been in a tournament setting for a while.
Not fished. In fact, we ran some content about Jared Lintner, who's fishing some local tournaments in California with buddies just to stay sharp.
Yeah, that's the overwhelming sense you get from reading our content, is that guys are just itching to get back on the water.
Right.
So, you know, that plays into this too. How do they channel that?
And this should be something that, you know, maybe Brian could talk a little bit about. Brian is kind of our numbers guy here. He has a little side hobby, likes to, he has a small bank account for placing bets on college football and other sporting events.
Roll Tide.
He seems to do pretty well at it.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Well,
yeah, not a secret for a while.
The account went dry. Yeah. But anyways, so Brian, nobody else is going to listen
to
this.
His accountant drained that bank account.
Yeah. So when it comes to placing bets, if you will, in the fantasy world, clearly there's a factor here that we can't control, and that's Mother Nature.
Yes.
Now, in football, maybe Mother Nature might play a part, but a very, very small part. How do you factor that into these selections?
I think it's impossible. It's the reason I say that drawing from a bucket is almost as scientific as sitting down and playing the numbers, because if you're trying to pick Angler of the Year, pick out 10 or 12 guys that you really think might have a shot at being consistent over a schedule for an entire year across the country. That's maybe you can do that. You're talking about 4 days out of 365 for one leg with 110 on the Elite Series now.
109.
Can you find one that really doesn't have a shot to have four good days? It's almost impossible.
Well, and you know, interestingly, Coy would argue that you can, and there is a little bit of, and I don't know what the science is, but a lot of the guys that do well at fantasy fishing are at the top of the leaderboard every year. There is certainly a luck factor, and we're going to actually put that in motion here. What you've heard is I went through my closet and found a bunch of old poker chips that have not been used in a lot of years because I don't know how to play poker.
Amen.
There's that. And I've put the names of every angler in each bucket. And so James and Brian are going to play the odds of there is no science to fantasy fishing and that it's a dart-throwing contest. So,
wow, this is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. And I think
if you and I can't beat them,
we're going to be out of a job.
We're going to be hurting.
Brian Brasher, the new commissioner of fantasy fishing. So anyway, there's a lot to that, but you were saying.
All right, so I'm going with either Elam or Defoe in bucket A. I think
can't pick both.
You know, and it'll be a game time decision. See kind of what I'm feeling that moment.
That's important.
Maybe if I see any things coming up that shots those guys have taken from practice. Cliff Pace is also in that bucket. It's pretty interesting. Of course, he won a Classic there in 2013.
And super low ownership.
Yeah. So that's an interesting wild card pick there. Bucket B, I'm going with Jason Christie. Hard. I mean, does he owe some revenge to that lake?
Mm-hmm.
I would say yes. He started out at Lake Martin. He finished 36th at Martin. That doesn't sound great, but he didn't hurt himself too bad in AOY at that point. But also, I looked at the top 12 from last year and how they did at Lake Martin. He's the only guy from the top 12 he's the highest finisher from last year's top 12. So it's interesting that he started out fishing hard and fishing, you know, maybe a little mad from how last year ended. Bucket C, gosh, how do you not pick Edwin Evers in there?
I know.
And I'm going to be so curious to see if he goes back up the Elk River and tries to revisit that spot where he caught his giant bag on day 3.
Now, it could happen, right? I mean, we're a little later in the year, but
seems too obvious for him.
It really does. And people are going to be expecting it.
Yes.
However, that's far enough where the photographers can't reach him.
That's right.
So that's his MO.
There you go.
We cannot cover Edwin Evers when he wins. So that's a high possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. In bucket D, you mentioned KVD in there from Coy's pick. KVD's a strong pick there. Jordan Lee is also in that bucket. Jordan Lee coming off his big Classic win. Jeff Crete is in there. It's kind of interesting, another Oklahoma guy. So I think right now I'm going to go with Jordan Lee in bucket D. And then in E, man, gosh.
It keeps getting more difficult.
I know it. Keith Combs in there. Boy, that's an obvious pick and one that He did not do well at Lake Martin. I don't remember his finish there. But
he was 213th.
Not a good finish.
No, it was not good.
Jacob Wheeler's an interesting one in there as well. Jacob finished 98th at Lake Martin.
Yeah, currently has almost half of the ownership right now.
Yeah, he does. He's got 45.
And remember, you're selecting guys you think that are going to make a check, and you'd like to pick the winner. You'd like to select somebody who's going to make the top 12. But look through this bucket. There's a long list of names of guys that are probably not going to be in bucket E after this tournament.
That's right. Yeah,
so
that's right.
Looking to move up.
Right now I'm going with Keith Combs and Bucket E. So there's my lineup. I reserve the right to change that up until 6 a.m. on Thursday.
I personally find it extremely flawed. So if you want for a certain price, I'll assist you later.
Why is that, James? What would you say?
Well, you know, you picked Kevin Van Dam, for example.
No, I didn't, actually.
So that was your flaw. You should have picked Kevin Van Dam.
There it is. Yeah. There it is. Well, so now that I put you on the spot, why don't you dig yourself out of that hole you've gotten deeper in? Now, who would you pick if you had to pick without going the route of the chip drawing?
Well, let me tell you, probably the reason it's good for me to go the route of choosing blindly out of a chip bucket is because I am currently ranked 9,629.
That's pretty deep down it. What's your color?
Yeah, I'm in kind of in that burnt orange. Hook 'em horns, you know what I'm saying?
That's a good color for you.
And that is after doing a lot of homework and research.
That's not true.
Doing some homework and gut feeling. So both of those are not working for me. But had I picked, I did before we came in here, my picks were Elam, Christie, Rumbanis, Jordan Lee, and Ish Monroe.
Okay.
So I got three Oklahoma guys in there, the dude that just won the Classic, who is a threat to win every tournament, in my opinion. And then I threw Ish Monroe in there because I'm thinking he has to have a good tournament at some point. He's due, but
it might have been Coy that wrote about this. Is we all know Ish only fishes for big fish. Mm-hmm. That's his MO, and a lot of times that means a strikeout or a bad tournament. But that is the kind of thing that could also propel the guy to a big win. Looking at the time of year, looking at Grand Lake in late April, even considering the weather we've had, I think we're probably going to see some bedded fish. We're going to see some fish that maybe have already spawned and moved off. And I think we'd probably see fewer fish that are moving in, but we're going to see all phases of the spawn. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a shallow water tournament. You know, you're going to have the guys who are good side fishermen seeing a couple of fish on beds. There's going to be those maybe a small percentage of fish still waiting to move up, and then a whole bunch that are done and just moved slightly off the bank. So I think these guys are going to find most of the fish fairly shallow, which is why I like Ish Monroe. He's a good shallow water fish.
Well, you know, you kind of joke about him having a good tournament, but this does set up exactly how he needs it to
This may be his rebound tournament. Mm-hmm. He finished 96th at Martin, mm-hmm. so you may have picked his good time.
Now, I made a prediction in one of our previous shows. I'm going to share it with you guys. I think that we are going to see, and I need to probably pick him to back up my theory, and I haven't, nor will I yet, but we're going to see a rebirth of Skeet Reese. We've seen he was so good for so long and then just flat disappeared. And he won Gunnersville was his last win, I believe.
That's right.
That's been a few years, but he's literally really not been a contender for a win in some time. And he's too good to just kind of disappear. I don't think that he's anywhere washed up or out of the game. He's something's changed. And I think that he's aware of that and is going to – I think that finish at the Classic really burned him, so we're going to see a different Skeet Reese.
I'm pretty sure it's his hair.
You know, he did better when he shaved it off.
Yeah, he needs to go bald.
We saw it with Van Dam, though. I mean, what did he have, 5 years without a win?
Yeah,
and everybody said he was gone, and then next thing you know, he's the best fisherman in the world. Yeah, again. So
he wins through.
You could see it happen with Skeet, for sure.
My prediction, the next 5 years, you're going to see 5 wins out of Skeet. Write that one down.
5 in 5 years. All right. He finished.
Oh, that's
you
solid.
Got money. You have one of those bank accounts like Brian has. I might take that bet.
I do. In fact, it's all right here in poker chips. I've cashed in. So let me talk about my selections.
Skeet finished last, 52nd in the
Classic.
I too think he's going to come back.
He's going to get angry and he's going to fish.
That's exactly
right. Yeah, it's one of the most amazing notes from the Classic was that on day one everybody caught a 5-bass limit except for Skeet, who zeroed.
Who zeroed?
I would have never believed that.
Yeah, and I don't think he believed it. And he came back with a decent limit the second day, which unfortunately wasn't enough to move up beyond last place. But hey, it happens, and that's part of those uncontrollable factors that Brian was talking about. So I'm going to go into bucket A. Now, I agree with a lot of what everybody's saying, and there is merit to picking the big names in each one of these buckets that have an obvious chance of doing very well, the Jason Christie's, Edwin Evers. Van Dam is probably your best buy in bucket D, no way around it. But you need to also think about, if you're looking to take a risk and move up, Coy made it clear that he wants to move up with the crowd. So we've talked about ownership and how that plays into your decisions. I'm making decisions based on that for the most part with my choices this week. But if everybody picks Ott Defoe, James Elam even, Van Dam, Jason Christie, Edwin Evers, Ish Monroe maybe, and those guys make the biggest jumps, then the large number of people that have selected or that support that ownership are going to move up the standings, whereas the guys that didn't will fall under. So I'm picking guys I think that will do better than those names in those buckets. And it's a risk, and typically when I take a risk, it bites me in the butt. So I am going to go with James Elam in bucket A. I think that's too good of a selection. He is the third highest owned angler in there. Ott Defoe is leading that, and I think that makes sense. Ott's been on a roll, and it's probably the kind of tournament that plays well to him. But I think James Elam is probably the best bet in bucket A. Bucket B, it's been a while since I've been willing to make this assumption, but I'm going to pick Matt Lee. He has been consistent in everything he's fished, period, in the last nine tournaments. So I think he had a shot at the Classic, was right behind Jordan Lee on Bass Track for a while. One big fish would have put him there. So he understands the game. He understands the big lights, the big pressure, has certainly come around and found himself and is doing very well. I'm doing the opposite in bucket C that Pete Robbins is doing. We always see whenever he doesn't pick Steve Kennedy does well. And he hears about it. And I think he was told by Steve Kennedy's wife to not pick him in this tournament. He alluded to that in his story anyways.
Interesting. Wow.
So I'm picking Steve Kennedy in bucket C. This fits Steve Kennedy's MO perfectly. I mean, you're looking at some spawn to post-spawn fish. He's going to do well there. I don't see any problem with that selection. Bucket D, I'm going to go Swindle. Didn't have a super good tournament there at Lake Martin, so that's why he's down the list.
Had a good Classic.
Had a great Classic and has been pounding the fish at Gunnersville. And he told me recently when we were working on a project that he's spending as much spare time on the water as he can. Last year he talked about simplifying, right? He broke his life down, found areas that were complications and maybe overstuffed with obligations here and there. And he told me this year he's spending more time on the fishing than ever before. So we've seen pictures on Facebook, on Instagram. He is pounding the fish at Gunnersville.
Hey, one thing on your James Elam pick, and we talked about Ott being hot, but Elam finished 11th at the Classic and 17th at Martin. So he's kind of on a roll himself.
He is.
Off to a strong start.
He's proven he can hang at this level, and I think he's in contention. Plus, he knows Grand Lake. So, Swindle for bucket D. Bucket E, I'm going with Seth Fighter.
Mm. Low ownership.
Low ownership.
Yeah, saw that.
Best mullet ever.
And mustache. And now here's the thing. This is why I think Seth Fighter's a hit in this bucket. He very likely would have missed the birth of his baby girl had Sabine not been canceled. So he was there, got to experience everything, real happy, real relaxed. And as you know, we've talked about this today, Minnesota has been pounded with snow. There are parts of Minnesota that got 26 inches of snow this last weekend.
That's why humans should not live in that state.
There's a dig. Nobody knows that, but that's all right. So Fighter, happy to get the hell out of Minnesota, happy to have been there for his wife and his child's birth, and I think that he is ready to go. His mind is clear. He has no weight on his shoulders. He is ready to go, and he's proven to us that he does well in southern fisheries, even though Grand Lake is really more west than it is south. It certainly plays to his strengths, I think, with some of the shallow water opportunities he's going to have and some of the potential to fish vertically. So that's my bucket E. There's my pick for Grand Lake. Brian.
So you didn't pick Skeet Reese.
Did not pick Skeet Reese yet. I'm not ready to make that switch.
You know, I did look back at Lake Martin, and Skeet finished 37 there. Mm-hmm. So in a respectable spot, even though he didn't do as well at the Classic. So there you go.
Brian Brasher, I know you've been chomping at the bit to get to your selections.
Yes.
Before we draw them.
I really have. Sitting over here on the edge of my seat. I like Bertrand. Josh Bertrand. You think about talk about a guy who's due. You mm-hmm. talked about Ish. And what was it Zona referred to Bertrand as before the season? As creepy good.
Yes.
He's creepy good. And he's just a guy I can see winning a tournament eventually. So, man, you talk about value. I I mean, nobody's picking him in this tournament.
So and he's been nothing but consistent.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there's your good pick. Greg Hackney and Bucket B. Hackney's, how long has it been since Hackney's won a tournament?
It was, in Oklahoma.
Yeah, Texoma.
Texoma.
Okay, mm-hmm. So.
I call that Texas.
You,
just for the record.
You, well, half of it is, James.
Yeah, well, Texas residents do. And then Jacob Poroznik, again, Bucket C, nobody picking him.
Uh-huh.
He's a guy, we don't know exactly how they're going to be caught. Maybe deep, maybe shallow, maybe a mix. That's Poroznik's ball game.
It is.
So he's a good pick there. I'm with you on Swindle in Bucket D. He's off to a good start this year. Maybe not Leg Martin. Had a good classic. Seems to be in the right frame of mind.
Yes. And I mentioned this before, but the man is due to win.
Yes.
Yeah, if anybody is due to win, they would be Swindle.
We're talking about a two-time Angler of the Year here. I mean,
that hasn't won an Elite Series.
And I understand that, but he's done okay. He's not hurting. So, and then you get Jacob Wheeler and Bucket E, I can't avoid taking him. He's just too good a pick there. And again,
he's angry.
Right, and he's like a Poroznik who, if they're scattered everywhere, bet on Wheeler to find them. So I think he's a good pick in Bucket E.
Well, that's very interesting. So to mix it up, you guys get to scrap your selections, and we're going to start here. Let's see. Now, I went through a lot of work here to get this, so I'm going to go ahead and pass this to James. Mix it up good.
Mix it up right, buddy.
Yeah.
Come on, no whammies.
Now, you got a pen? We got to make sure that we got to keep them honest whammies. Here.
All right, I'm the
all right,
taker.
Is this A?
Yeah, that's Bucket A.
I got the Hawk. I got the
Roy Hawk.
Yeah,
Roy
you want to know why that's a good
selection? That's actually a pretty good selection.
You know why that's good? It's because you think about this. We're in Oklahoma.
Arizona cat.
Lando the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the Indian? Where do the Indians find power? In the Hawk.
Or the Eagle.
Also doesn't hurt that he finished, second?
Well, then there's that.
Well, you know, and I would say that probably if there is a lake on our series this year that is similar to an Arizona lake, which is his home state, Grand Lake is probably as close as any of them.
There you go.
So
I think that was a great choice, James.
I put a lot of thought into it.
Now, let's put that back in here because...
what if he picks my same guy?
Well, it's just the luck of the draw.
Interesting.
Tell you what. Let's go through the entire selection first before you do yours.
How about that? That sounds good.
All right. Bucket B, James Hall.
All right. Here's the B bucket.
So we're going all to chance.
Whoa. Come on, make it good. We're gonna go with Skeet.
Skeet Reese.
Here we go.
I smell Thomas putting some sticky on that particular chip.
I mean, what?
Moving on.
All right, Bucket C. This is a family show here, kids.
I gotta change my. I'm changing my deal as we go, so we know. And where is he? All right, you have to remind me to change that. All right, so here we go. Bucket C, says you?
Says I.
Bam! Brandon Lester.
Okay.
Also awesome. I fished with this man down in Mexico this year, and he is impressive.
He is impressive.
I would put
him in the same category as Josh Bertrand. I mean, they're young.
Yeah.
They're very consistent.
Yes.
And they're going to get a win one of these
days. And they're both very nice.
They're wonderful men.
Comparing him a little bit to Seth Fighter, he's got a baby that's due any minute.
That's right. No, they had her last week. Yep,
okay.
Baby girl. And Lester has also killed several turkeys.
Uh-oh.
In his time off.
It's a good year for him.
He's having a good spring.
We've had several babies born to Elite Series anglers here the last few years. How many of them have done well in the immediate aftermath?
Justin Lucas. Finished
sixth. There's your bucket C.
It can clear your mind or cloud your mind.
So yes. you're right about that. What's an example? Who did we talk about last year with that?
Oh gosh, what is Paul Mueller had to leave an Elite Series tournament because his baby was being born.
Yeah,
Justin Lucas has had a baby. Cliff Crochet's had a couple of them during the season. So it's been a crowded time for the Elite Series.
They've been spawning.
Yes, they have. Yeah.
Bucket D.
Garden front.
Bucket D. All right, we're going to go with Hiya Lefebvre.
Dave Lefebvre.
Lefebvre.
I wouldn't feel bad about that.
No,
neither.
No, Dave can catch him anywhere, man. And, he has the Lefebvre.
He's got the...
I got to learn how to pronounce his name.
Lefebvre.
Correctly. Lefebvre.
All right, there's bucket D.
So that was D. I went with Lefebvre. I think my situation is looking pretty solid. All right, so I'm adding Dave, and then now
bucket E.
Here we go. Come on. All right, Ish. Sorry, we're gonna wipe you out, and we're gonna go with, bam, Ish.
Really?
I really did.
Oh, you're kidding.
I got Ish. How about that?
If you just want to set it, if you want to stay with Ish, just say it.
That is meant to be. Y'all saw me pull the chip. Bamski. So,
All right, so the ones you've chosen before, not the poker chips, but the ones you chose.
Yeah.
You got Elam and Christy.
Yeah,
I had
Christy, and now, see, I've already redone it on my little, on the websites here. So, but I had Ish, I had another Oklahoma.
You had Joe Lee and D.
Yeah, I had Jordan Lee, and then the one I can't remember.
In bucket C.
Did you have Evers?
Nope. Okay. Nope. No, all right. I'll come back with you and let you know.
I can't remember. We're kind of just looking through this. Who did you have? Did you have Rumbanis?
Yes. I had the boom boom.
Okay, so Brian. Now we're going to go through the same thing, and you have Brian's previous selections.
I'm going to ask him to remind me.
Worst note taker ever.
Josh Bertrand, Greg Hackney, Poroznik, Gerald Swindle, and Jacob Wheeler.
Okay, very good.
Strong. Got him?
Oh, one just jumped out.
Yeah, pick that up. That'll be my choice.
All right. Yeah, you got to close your fingers on the end of that cup there.
What we got?
I've been waiting for somebody to tell me they couldn't read it. That's Hanselman.
Okay. Right.
Oh. That's a hard name to write on that little bitty chip.
I think he's a good choice.
That's a chip full.
Yeah.
Del Rio, Texas. Where'd he finish at Lake Martin?
He did well. In fact, he was in the top 10 for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he finished there.
He did well.
Yeah. So how can you go wrong? You got Roy Hawk.
He finished number, Hanselman finished 14th.
Okay, there you go. So out of bucket A, we've chosen twice and gotten two top 15 finishers from the last tournament.
So you're saying there is a little something to this.
There's some science to the chip pulling.
Oh, boy. Okay, bucket B, right, y'all. The science in plastic.
That's right. Poker science. Mullins.
David Mullins.
Yes. Mm. Right.
I would have no problem with that.
None at all.
Are you making your switches as we go here?
I am making them as we go.
All right. Another guy that is due to have a real big tournament.
Yeah, I think he is, too. He was at the Classic announcement last week. He was just chomping.
You got to believe that he would be.
He wants to get to the Classic, so he's got to do well at this tournament.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all those guys were, like, excited for the Classic to be in Knoxville, but then, like, followed it up with, now I just got to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was talking to Casey last year, knowing that it was on heart. Well, that was his entire goal for the season. I talked to him about Angler of the Year with two or three tournaments left. He said, man, if it happens to be that I win AOI on my way to the Classic, that's great, but my goal is to make it to the Classic.
Right.
That ought to be that way for Ott Defoe, for Mullins, for all these guys who have history up there.
Get there.
Let's see. David Walker. Speaking of another guy who's got history up there, tell me he doesn't need to make the Classic. So.
Okay, very good.
All right, so I'm going to take my guy Poroznik out of there and put in David Walker.
You go Volunteers.
Yeah.
Team Tennessee going into the Tennessee deal.
That's right.
You know how I love Tennessee.
That's right.
I'm a big UT guy. Bill Lowen. You know what? That's fate that I would pick him out of there because I think the world needs Bill Lowen to win a tournament. A guy in an aluminum boat
who loves to
fish shallow.
Great story.
Yeah, I mean, his great line about not being comfortable unless he has his trolling motor kicking up mud. That would be a throwback for all of us, make some of the regular guys feel happy, I think. So,
I would like to see a Bill Lowen victory.
I would love it. Mm-hmm. I would love it.
Let's see. Bucket E. I'm not going to pick out of Bucket E. I'm going to go by the number of texts that my wife has sent me today with this grocery list.
Yes.
That's number 14. So I'm going to count down from the top and go with the 14th guy, and that is Drew Benton.
All right.
Panama City, Florida. You know, he got off to a really good start on the Elite Series, and now is kind of due himself.
You would have picked Jones.
Yeah, you couldn't go wrong with that. Which way? Which Jones?
Mm-hmm. Senior.
I think it's
senior.
Yeah, that's there's mm-hmm. there's no JR.
Oh,
line.
That's right. Yeah, he doesn't
Junior.
Like the
Jones Junior.
Yeah. So you got
Drew
Benton.
Yeah.
Okay.
So boy, that's really a twist of fate there for him to pass the bucket and go with number of text messages mm-hmm. he's received in the last several hours.
Right. Hey. He's really messing up the scientific process.
I was wondering how many anglers we had because there was a chance on a given day that it could exceed the number and you would just have to count back from the top.
I'm not sure she'll be listening to this, but you're probably pretty safe to say that.
I think I'm okay, yeah. All right, so I've got Hanselman Jr., I've got Mullins, I've got Walker, Bill Lowen, and Drew Benton.
Now, I want you to play these guys and let the tournament unfold because when we get Coy on the phone and we can say, look, you got beat by two cats that picked out of the buckets.
That's right.
It's going to really throw him for a spin. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a good approach, and I think we need to continue to do this. So if you're both here the next time we do the next podcast, we got to have you do it. Otherwise, I'm going to draw for you.
Done. Well, and basically what you're going to find out is there is a technique of drawing the chip to be successful in fantasy fishing. And I'll go into that later, perhaps, give a couple of tips. Not all my secrets, but you know, maybe one or two.
I mean, you're five guys you drew chips on. It's like that could be a
solid.
That could be a well thought out strategy from mm-hmm. the looks of that list. You know, a couple of them based on, you know, Thomas's input.
Uh-huh.
Skeet Reese.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good to know you listen to me. Your fingers do anyways.
Yeah.
I do got to mention this. Now, we've yet to see across all of the fantasy fishing events that this company has hosted, there has not been a single angler to pick the perfect team. We have been close. In fact, the last event, or the Classic, was the closest we were. There was a guy that was like one angler slot off
mm-hmm.
from the perfect team. But I think, and write this down, I think the perfect team that we're going to see is Ott Defoe, Jason Christie, Edwin Evers, Kevin Van Dam, and Jacob Wheeler.
Mm-mm.
That's what you're calling the perfect.
I mean, I don't have them picked, so maybe I don't say that so much, but that is like the
That's
best chance at a perfect team.
James Elam out of that group.
Well,
hate James Elam?
I'm not picking him like this.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. You got to understand, this is just an estimation. So we've done this with the other pundits, guys. Now, where we're at, James.
Well, wait. Whenever my team is deemed perfect, the one that I drew out of the bucket, do I get a trophy?
Yes. In fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to duct tape all these stupid little chips together.
Yes.
And I will deliver it to you.
I'd like a presentation.
Okay. Well, we'll have a press conference.
Okay.
Get Bruce in here to sign off on that.
Yeah, I'm not big on trophies, but I would like a check. just pay me, I'm good.
So let's talk about Angler of the Year. I think that we don't have anything going right now to make a good estimation on who's got the momentum. Clearly, you can look at the top 12 in the Angler of the Year and see that's just from one tournament. That's going to shift around a lot once we get to the end of Grand Lake. But if you could look at last year's momentum, one Elite Series event and one Classic event, and factor all that in, James Hall, if you could pick one Angler of the Year based off of the Elite field so far, who would it be?
Well, I will go with Brandon Palahniuk.
Back-to-back AOI.
Well, we had a back-to-back Classic winners. I think we're overdue for back-to-back AOIs.
And Van Dam was the last one to do that in 2010, 2011.
Yeah. And you know we're going.
That was Classic.
I don't know what you're talking about, but we're going to places where Palahniuk can fish. You know, he lives closer to South Dakota than any of them.
That's true. It's still like 3,000 miles from where he lives, but
from everywhere.
So I'll go BP.
And where are we at? I mean, he didn't have that great of a finish.
No,
he's in bucket E.
That's where he started out poorly last year.
Bucket D. Yeah, he did, and he really doesn't have that terrible of a start, but that's interesting. All right, Brian, same question to you. Angler of the Year at this point.
Give me one of the Lane brothers. Hey, can I take two of them? Can I just have that family?
The Lane family?
Yeah, just,
well, they both can't win it. I mean,
just give me give me Bobby then.
Okay. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. You got to figure that family's due. They are absolute hammers, both of them.
And we haven't talked about Bobby Lane at this tournament at all.
Right.
And he did well.
Pretty good, pretty high ownership, too.
And he did well at the Classic here a couple years ago.
Mm.
I remember being at Universal Studios, and looking at my phone and seeing he busted 30 pounds the first day of the Open.
Yep,
and
that's
thought,
right.
Yeah, I think Bobby's going to do okay this year. So I'm going to go with that feeling.
Well, all right. So this has been invigorating.
I've got a wild card pick for you on AOY.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Takahiro's in first right now.
Right.
He's a Texas guy, whether James accepts
Hook'em
him or
horns.
Not.
Oh, I adopted Takahiro years ago.
Okay. We'll go into a lake that's not too far from home for him. And so he'll do well there, and it's a shame on you guys that nobody picked him.
That's probably true.
and so he's going to start off, you know.
You know, you had a pick as well,
after,
Jim.
After worth two events, he's going to be really, he's going to stay pretty high in this thing. So
so your wild card is the guy leading.
That's
is that
right.
What you're saying?
That's right. That's
bold.
Right.
Well, he is the vice president of digital, so he can.
Hey, sometimes the bright choice is picking the obvious.
Right? Well, that's true sometimes. But say, so Roy Hawk is in second place angler of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing wrong with that. I'm still going on. I'm on the Justin Lucas train for angler of the year.
Okay. No Ott DeFoe picks.
He had a bad tournament, didn't he? He didn't do very well.
No. He finished 13th at Martin. And
oh, that's right. He was 1 ounce out of making it.
He finished 6th at the Classic. So,
I stand corrected. Yeah. Good. Well, he's been close. He's been in the hunt. He was in the hunt all the way up to the last event last year.
He's ready. He's my number two pick.
Is that because he's from Tennessee?
If Brian gets two guys, I get two.
All right, so the Classic. We just announced this last week. Jim, maybe you could talk a little bit before we shut this thing down about obviously the Classic is going to impact and influence how a lot of these guys fish, especially the Tennessee Cats. Where exactly out of Knoxville is a Classic going to take place?
So they're gonna launch right out of downtown Knoxville, a place called Volunteer Landing. And so literally you'll be able to walk from your hotels downtown down to the launch.
Mm-hmm.
The expo is a few blocks away as well, and so is the arena where they will weigh in. So it's really concentrated. It's going to be super fan-friendly. But the fishery that they'll be in, it's 55 miles long. They'll be able to run downriver to Fort Loudoun Dam, which is about 45 miles.
And that's a lake, essentially, right?
It's essentially a lake. It feels very river-like. It doesn't get huge and broad like a Grand Lake or something like that. But then there's a canal that connects Fort Loudoun. That lake is called Fort Loudoun. And they'll be able to connect via canal over to Tellico Lake, which is a mountain lake, really, that's clear water, smallmouth, and go back there quite a ways as well, all the way till the Chihuahua Dam. From downtown Knoxville, they'll be able to run upriver. And that's the headwaters of the Tennessee River. For the Holston River and the French Broad split right north of Knoxville, or right east of Knoxville. So they'll be able to do a little river fishing up that way. So it's a real diverse spot that should be super interesting to see how these guys do.
And really the first name that comes to mind is Ott DeFoe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, the hometown, the home lake curse seems to have been lifted by, you know, many of the pros, but this does have him written all over it.
Ott lives on the river, just upstream of downtown Knoxville. I forget whether he's on the Holston or the French Broad, but there are bridges up there that are the boundaries, and he is just upriver from one of those bridges.
Wow.
Mm.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about a lot of the best venues we've been to, and obviously Greenville and Lake Hartwell is the best one based on the numbers, but it is cool to mix it up a little bit, going to a brand new place. In fact, I didn't realize there was a sizable fishery there that could handle the Classic, but evidently there's plenty of water and plenty of opportunity.
And you're talking one of the most enthusiastic sports towns in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, they bleed orange up there, and when it comes to Tennessee football. So if we can tap into some of that enthusiasm, we are going to be in really good shape.
And we'll get to see smallmouth weighted in the Classic. That has not happened in a long time.
Yeah, that's right. Great.
Really?
Yeah,
has that right. ever happened?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I suppose in the summers.
Tennessee. Pittsburgh.
Well, guys, this has been fun. We need to do it this way again. It is a way to keep our pundits honest. And I'd like to offer a warm welcome to the pundit staff, even though you're more like antis. I mean, really, if you want to get down to it, you want to break the pundit, the whole methodology of what we're trying to do here. And maybe you're true. Maybe you're
or
right.
Enforce it. Yeah. Maybe we show that they've been doing it right all along.
I don't know. There's some guys that are pretty good at it. But, hey, from Jim Sexton and Brian Brasher, James Hall. This is Thomas Allen. You've been listening to Inside Bassmaster. This is a fantasy edition. We'll catch you here next time with another exciting show.
Roll Tide.